Hey everyone, I'm Emmanuel.
I'm Carly.
And I'm Jamidra.
And we're the hosts of
The Cooler,
your weekly dose of pop culture commentary. This week, we're going back to the 1600s to talk about King James. It sounds boring, but there's gay sex in it.
There actually is.
And then I am going to play a little truth or dare with you all and talk about a social media pissing contest.
And God forbid makeup for men be not manly.
And not named after beer, because we're men.
Exactly.
Are we not men?
I mean, you two aren't.
Yeah, I'm not.
And I'm like kind of fluid like Miley, but who's counting?
Nobody.
So are you guys ready for a little bit of history?
Always.
Listen, I've learned more from you than I did my entire time in college. Just doing this podcast. I feel like I should get a degree.
Wow.
Do I get a degree?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I should also probably get one before I start teaching people history, but that's neither here nor there.
Please assume that our default is set to always ready for history.
Yeah.
Well, I have quite the tale for you.
All right.
It is about James the Sixth of Scotland, James the First of England. He became king of Scotland when he was 13 months old.
Too young.
And I was like, that's really young. And then I did some more research, and apparently his mother, Mary, Queen of Scots, was 6 days old when she became Queen of Scotland.
So, and you know how I know this? Because the CW had a little show called Rain.
Hey.
That my mom was a little obsessed with, and she made me watch.
Mom's tastes. I love it.
Mom is like, see, it's something about the royals.
She loves those royals. Oh, she loves Jackie O, right?
Jackie O.
Camelot.
She loves Camelot. She's all about, like, you know, Diana. Princess Diana. Like, yeah. She's just, mom, you know what it is.
Well, she's going to love James.
Okay, well, let's
And here's why. Our boy James is young, and all these other people are taking over the responsibilities of the kingdom because his mom is imprisoned for some shady business. They say she blew up her husband. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who amongst us has not done
Who's to say? Is there a YouTube video? Then it didn't happen. If it's not on Instagram?
Well, also, even if there's a video, you can't prove it.
Yeah, you can't.
That's what we've learned in America.
Yes.
So James grows up, and he's called a physical weakling, and people are judging him because he likes to only read and talk. As if that's a problem.
These guys that read and talk and know things in rural countries.
Question, what else was there to do back then?
Hunting.
Okay, I got you.
I think just contract some kind of disease and die.
Yes. And so there was one thing that people were fine with him about, though. They're like, he shows a lot of chastity. He's not, like, being distracted by girls.
At 13 months old, I would hope not.
Babies having babies.
Hey, babies like boobs. I've seen them.
That's true. This is
You've seen it.
Yeah.
You know it happens.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Age 13. Like I said, James has not been eyeing the ladies.
At 13? Well.
But then he meets his cousin, a 37-year-old by the name of Esme Stewart.
This is get real Game of Thrones-ish.
Who was married and already fathered 5 children because he's a man.
Oh,
yes. You didn't see that twist.
Yeah, I did not see that
May
twist
to December
coming.
Romance with a twist.
You know who else would have seen it? Who would have seen it though? Bran.
Bran from Game of Thrones.
Bran would have seen it, but I don't know. I'm missing. If you can't tell, I'm missing Game of Thrones. This Sunday was hard.
I can tell.
Everything harks back.
So Esme, this 37-year-old cousin of his, spent some time in France, and he had a je ne sais quoi quality about him that the other people at court did not. He's like, these English people and Scottish people, I'm not feeling it. But this French man, who also is related to me.
Insist.
So he sees his older cousin and he thinks this Nicki Minaj lyric.
Go. I'm sure he did.
Go
I'm
on. Sure
I say yes, daddy, I do. Give me brain like NYU.
Oh, I'm. It's glad to know that Nicki's been around for so long.
Yeah. So someone from that period wrote that James was, quote, in such love with Esme, as in the open sight of the people, often he will clasp him about the neck with his arms and kiss him.
Ooh.
In front of people?
Listen,
wow.
I like my cousins. I'm just saying, I'm not going to
You're not clasping nobody by the neck?
I'm not going to clasp them.
As someone who clasped around one of my cousins
when I was
younger than this, because I'm a prodigy,
I'm
not casting stones.
We have gone through this story here.
Yeah, and if you didn't hear it, go back, because it's a good one.
It's a really good one.
So, when thinking about James and how he's acting, throwing the arms around him and stuff.
The clasping and carrying
on. Who among us can say that we weren't off the wall with our first crush? Like, we were all
there
doing the most. It's fine. Like, he just got out of puberty. He's just like, all right, I just figured out what this is for, and yes. So, James appointed Esme to the title of Gentleman of the Bedchamber.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, official title with a plaque and everything? email address.
Yep.
At gmail.com.
So now you can call your husbands that.
Yes.
You are my gentleman of the bedchamber.
Gentleman of the bedchamber.
Other titles followed, like Privy Councilman, the Earl of something, a Duke of Lennox. He started getting a bunch of power, and all of the Scottish ministry were like, all right, Esme needs to be stopped. He's a 37-year-old who's taking all this power, and this 13-year-old doesn't even know what he's doing. And they were saying, quote, he was trying to draw the king into carnal lust. So some Scottish nobles invited James to a slumber party at a castle.
Mm.
No big deal. Who turns that down?
No one. Among us has not enjoyed a slumber party at a castle?
Exactly. And then they subsequently imprisoned him until he agreed to exile Esme forever.
Aww.
It took some time because he was there for 10 months. He was no.
So who was ruling the kingdom while he was locked up?
Some other white people.
They're like, no food.
So he had the proverbial gun to his head.
Yeah. So he eventually does exile Esme, his cousin. And Esme goes to France because that's where he got all of his, you know, vibe or whatever.
That's where you go when you're sad.
That's where you go when you want to write Taylor Swift-esque breakup songs about the child king that you were having sex with. In addition to writing these kind of Taylor Swift love songs, he also wrote letters, which included kind of dramatic imagery to the king.
Oh.
Quote.
Ooh.
Quote he. Whatever might happen to me, I shall always be your faithful servant. And would to God that my breast be split open so that it might be seen what is engraven therein.
Ooh. Metaphorically, I'm sure.
That's deep.
Haters
That's
were like,
literally.
Oh my God, you were so dramatic. And you just wanted power. Stop pretending. You don't have to pretend anymore. But in a final middle finger to everyone and a final love you, okay, bye, to James.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Esme died and left his embalmed heart to James.
No.
Yes,
no.
He did.
How do you, what, did he FedEx it? Like, what, how did you, you just sent it?
If television has taught me correctly, you put it in a little bag on a horse's back and then you smack the horse
and
so
the horse
it runs
knows
off.
Exactly where to go.
Yeah. You give it the address and it just goes.
So, Esme's dead. R.I.P.
Clearly.
Then James is being pressured to marry a lady and he's like, fine, I'll do it. He meets this woman, Anne of Denmark. They actually get along pretty well.
Huh.
And they start hitting it. She's pregnant immediately. Like,
wait, he's not still 13.
No.
In those days, he could have been 4. You know how to get down. That's just, it was different times.
Heaven forbid you have a girl child.
Don't even speak such evil.
I know.
So Anne of Denmark and he are like getting it on. She's pregnant very quickly. And he's already cheating with this other girl who's also named Anne. Because it doesn't count if it's the same name.
Well, I was going to say, different area codes or same name, you're good.
So Anne of Denmark is pissed. But they still have a ton of kids. She's like always pregnant. But on the side, he's still up to his cruising for men.
Okay. Mm.
In one of these cruising sessions, he was at a royal jousting contest. And he spots a hot 17-year-old by the name of Robert Carr, who got knocked off his horse and broke his leg.
So he was like, he can't run. Got you now.
So when he saw him fall off his horse and break his leg, to borrow from another Nicki Minaj song, James thought the following. I want you on all fours. And before I let you walk, you gotta show me how you crawl. If you want it all, it's non-negotiable. So do as I say. If you wanna get the job, you better know who's the boss.
Well, he was in prime position to start crawling, so.
He was crawling, and you can only get with King James if you know he's the boss. He's the king.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not the one to be played with. So James, of course, makes him gentleman of the bedchamber.
Oh, here we go again.
A lot of t-shirts here.
As well as the Knight of the Garter, a privy councillor, a viscount, and an earl. And all's going well until Robert wants to marry a girl named Frances Howard. And at first, James is chill. He's like, okay, we're poly. I realize I'm also married to a lady. So like,
I mean, it's an open relationship.
Yeah.
Like, we're just good. I can share.
It's all love. Yeah. It's all love.
So he's like, I'm going to help you out because Frances Howard is already married. She needs a divorce to marry you. So I'm going to stack a court full of bishops that will do my bidding and allow her to get a divorce so she can marry you because, you know, ride or die. That's what we are. I'll do that for you.
And so this is like after Henry VIII just like opened the divorce floodgates, right? Divorce
I feel like
for everyone.
Not going well for Frances. Go ahead.
They got married.
Oh, they did. Okay.
And it's all fine. But then things quickly soured when he realized, oh, you actually like Frances. Now I'm second fiddle? No. Not in my court.
First fiddle.
So he sends a letter to Robert to let him know that there's bad blood. So it read, quoth he, "Band-aids don't fix bullet holes." No, it didn't. What it actually said was, "I leave out of this reckoning your long creeping back and withdrawing yourself from lying in my chamber, notwithstanding my many hundred times earnest soliciting you to the contrary. Huh? Remember that, since I am king, all your being except your breathing and soul is from me."
Oh, pulling
you
rank.
Better come.
Didn't he say in the Nicki Minaj song that you better know who's the boss?
He said it.
And he went back on that promise.
I'm just going to say that's abuse of authority.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. That's the one wrong thing you've seen in this story so far.
I'm just sick of these kings thinking that they like own everything.
Well, we know about your anti-monarchy feelings.
I wasn't even going to mention it. Get rid of them all.
GTFO.
The ginger is cool. I can rock with the ginger.
When I say get rid of, like, I'm not envisioning something terrible. I just don't want them to rule.
You just think get rid of them.
Not off with their heads. Just like go to Ibiza and stay there.
Yeah, yeah. Off with their bank accounts.
So sometime later, after this letter, Frances gets into some trouble because her husband Robert's best friend didn't want him to marry her and was saying like, "Oh, I don't think she's right for you." Oh. She was already married, whatever. So she gets even with Robert's best friend by poisoning and killing him.
Oh. Hateration in the dancery.
Mm-hmm. That is what the gospel says.
Yes.
These people do not have enough to do. They have too much time on their hands.
Too much time for murder.
But hold on, with Frances is like, you know, you said some stuff about me I didn't like. Let me just go ahead and poison and kill you. Also, sore winner, you married him. Yeah. You still poisoned him.
To quote a Will Ferrell movie I have not seen.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
So James sees an opportunity. He's like, okay, she's in trouble, and I am going to get my revenge on these two people.
Me swoop in.
And so he insists that both of them go on trial for murder.
Both of them?
Yep. Two in one.
Why not?
Special like Kmart. So Robert is like, oh, you want me to be on trial? Well, guess what? I'm going to out you to everyone on the stand.
Surely he would have known.
So James had two men posted up next to him while he was giving his testimony, and they were ready to, quote, muffle him with cloaks should he begin to divulge delicate matters.
Wait, that's not going to be subtle at all. He's going to stand up and say, I've got some things to say.
Just stuffing, like, organza into his mouth.
Yeah.
No. So Robert didn't say anything because there was this threat.
What, a dude like standing by with a cloak?
See, Robert, I need him to learn the game.
Yeah.
You never show your hand. He was supposed to get up there and then say it real fast like a pharmaceutical commercial.
Right. So he didn't say anything, but both he and his wife were sentenced to death anyway.
Mm. Man, that's rough.
But James was like, you know what? I'm benevolent. I'm going to commute your sentence, but you're going to still be in the tower for 7 years before I allow you to retire to a country estate when I'm ready.
That sounds like a pretty sweet plea deal. To be honest,
I don't think they knew it was only 7 years. I think later on he decided, like, you've done enough. They probably thought they were going to die there.
I'll let you out.
Yeah. So do not cross James. He does not play games.
Clearly.
And the ones he does play will end up with you in jail or dead. So around the time that James's relationship with Robert was going off the rails, he needed another boo thing.
Oh, so he just is perpetually booed up.
So he met the son of a knight called George Villiers. Who was said by some other bishop to be, quote, the handsomest bodied man in all of England, his limbs so well compacted.
Ooh, hang on. I'm just imagining.
What's the face look like, though? Because they said the body. Because you know how...
Compacted is never a good phrase. Was he, like, cubed? You know, like when old cars go to the knacker's yard and they just, like, crush
them? Is he Gumby? Oh, my God, Becky, look at his well-compacted butt. So James' feelings can best be expressed again by a Nicki Minaj song,
the premier balladeer of our times.
Per usual, James threw all the titles at his new boyfriend.
Oh, let me guess. Gentleman of the bedchamber, Lord Privily, ding dong.
Clearly, this is how you get put on. Basically. This is how you get a title back then. How you just...
New email signature.
Okay.
So George was a cupbearer. He was a commoner. In 1615, James knighted him as a gentleman of the bedchamber.
Of course.
2 years later, he made him an earl. 1 year later, he made him a marquis. Is that how you say that?
Marquis, I think. Maybe, I don't know.
Whatever. Mm. In 1623, a couple years later, he made him an earl and a duke, the first commoner in more than a century to be elevated to that position, and the highest ranking subject outside of the royal family.
Okay, so I have a question.
Translation, zero chill.
Zero.
Go on, what's your question?
I have a question. So I feel, well, Carly could tell me, are people really proud of their titles still to this day?
I think so, yeah.
So who are his descendants? Because I want to know, do you know how your ancestor got that title though?
All he had to do was sleep with the king. Yes. What could be easier or more natural?
So just a few years ago, they were doing a renovation on this palace and they found a secret chamber between James's bedroom and George's bedroom.
Oh.
And they hadn't even known about that. So they were getting it on all the time.
Secret tunnels.
Like, my wife is asleep, so let me just sneak on into the secret chamber.
Extra Benadryl for her that
exactly.
night.
Separate bedrooms. So James was not keeping his feelings very secret, even though there was a secret little hallway.
Yep.
Feelings not so secret. In this proclamation, James let everyone know he was royally digmatized.
And I'm sure that is exactly what he said in those words.
Quoth he, "You may be sure that I love the Earl of Buckingham more than anyone else and more than you who are here assembled. Ooh, I wish to speak..."
Shitty party.
"I wish to speak in my own behalf and not to have it thought to be a defect. For Jesus Christ did the same, and therefore I cannot be blamed. Christ had John, and I have George."
This is not a "what would Jesus do" moment. This is not that.
I think it's "who would Jesus do?"
So he not just that. Basically said, "Hey, y'all, Jesus was hella gay too. He put the men in amen. So I can do it too." He also let it be known in letters to George. Quote, "I had rather live banished in any part of the earth with you than live a sorrowful widow's life without you. God bless you, my sweet child and wife, and grant that ye may ever be a comfort to your dear dad and husband."
Meanwhile, that means that boo thing's heart is rotten somewhere.
Yeah.
While he's
gone
through all
where
these,
is that embalmed heart?
He's got the embalmed heart. He's got somebody in the tower while he's over here talking about he loves this man more than anybody else in the room.
Right.
You who are assembled, don't ever gather people.
You know what it's like when someone gives you something and you think, "I'll always treasure it," and then you don't, and then you find it in a box like 10 years later.
He probably cycled it through the Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like
re-gifted.
He re-gifted it. Yeah.
To his wife. He's like, "You want this heart of my ex-lover?"
Sure. I just got given this heart and it's just not really me.
It's not me.
Clutter.
Yeah.
You know, I read The Magical Year of Tidying Up or whatever,
yes.
And like,
yeah.
I touched it,
Connery.
And it didn't bring me joy. So all of this queerness on full display was getting on religious people's nerves. And so to get them off of his back, James ordered a new translation of the Bible, which so happens to be the same
James.
Bible that Bible thumpers are putting in gay people's faces to this day.
Tidbit. Okay.
But they don't know that it was written by a queer king who just had it translated again so that he could have sex with his boyfriend in peace. So take that with you to church on Sunday.
I'm going to ask questions.
Wow.
I'm going to be in the pew like, I learned a little something new on the Cool Podcast.
Can you speak on James the First's shenanigans and how much he loved Nicki Minaj?
So question, is this version of the Bible just like chock full of sex scenes?
You know, I haven't read it in a while, but maybe we should.
Neither have I.
Houseway
indeed to this whole story.
Okay.
All I'll say is, come unto me.
It's
getting taken out.
John the Apostle knows a little bit about that, according to King James. And we're going to leave it there before God strikes us down if God is a real woman in the heavens.
I'm going to slide out of the way before this lightning bolt come through the roof.
Or some kind of electrical fault, I don't know.
So that has been your weekly digest of history you didn't know.
I'm just going to say that was great. It had everything that I wished that this season of Game of Thrones did.
Yeah. Mm.
It had lots of shagging.
Yep.
It had knights getting it on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, like a solid like 5-star Yelp review from me.
So more Wonderful. Of that next season, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my Jon Snow full frontal. That's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe I'm gonna tweet him. All right, so I'm going to start you guys off with a little quote that I'd like to read. Instagram is a cultural pissing contest. Thoughts?
Truth.
I'm going to co-sign that.
Yeah.
I'm going to write my name.
The second part of that headline is, hyphen, so why does it make us feel so bad?
Why do you think?
Ah,
you
see,
can't
previous
win.
Statement.
That's according to Eleanor Margolis of The New Statesman. So she wrote that article. She talked about how Instagram is just doing a great job of making us all feel quite shitty lately.
Yeah, yes. Duh. That's why I look at it.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know, but recently the Royal Science of Public Health, along with Young Health Movement, did a study and found that social media was damaging, particularly damaging to young people, and as that we are forever young. All of us on this podcast and all of our listeners, we are forever young. We are also included in this.
Yes. I want to be forever young.
Maybe we're not young enough to audition for American Idol, but we are
15 to 28, young. Just
exactly.
In case you didn't
we're
know.
We're forever young, but we're also cue Danity Kane's bop. Damaged.
Okay.
Damaged. I thought that I should let you know.
So apparently Instagram is also contributing to that damage.
Yes,
I
it is.
100% see that.
So recent studies have found that Instagram exacerbates feelings of anxiety.
Yes.
Depression.
Yes.
Poor body image.
Yes.
And FOMO, fear of missing
yes.
out, for those who
Hell
don't
yes.
know what that acronym stands for. And so I'm just like, I have been kind of obsessed with Instagram lately. I don't know what it is. But
do you have all of those things?
I have all
or
of those.
Do you feel good?
No, no. I feel good until I see, like, so there's a woman on Instagram named Kathy Drayton.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Tell me about her.
More recently, Kathy Freeman, because she got married. But she's a fitness trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see her, I'm like, why does my body not look like that? But I'm like,
oh,
but
yeah.
I don't wake up in the morning doing squats. Like, she'll post, like, videos of her. She's like, this is how you get it in at, like, 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh, girl. I'm at the table with, like,
so
like
you
some bacon.
See her, and you're like, she has some well-compacted limbs, let me tell you.
Is there anything on Instagram that sends you in a tailspin? For me, it's like the body stuff I talked about, the beauty. I'm just like, why is my hair not
just
that thick?
Like people
and my
can...
eyelashes not that long. Or vacations. I'm like, why am I not living my best life?
Mm.
But it can be inspiring because when I see those, I'm like, my vacation will also be lit.
So you're just like aspirational. You're like,
yeah.
Okay, got it.
You wait for
so
it.
So you're not participating in the pissing contest is what you were saying.
Well, here's the thing that I'm going to confess to. I recently took a 2-month break from Instagram. I don't know if you noticed. You should have, though, because...
Hang on.
Like
you did not take a 2-month
break. Did you auto-post some pictures from Greece?
No. Before that.
Okay.
We've got him against the wall, Hedgemedia. Keep going. He will crack.
Yeah, this light bulb is like right in my face.
Yeah.
It's like really intense.
Yeah.
And that two-way mirror is really
scary. We will
scary.
Break you. This can go one of two ways.
This is like a Slumdog Millionaire interrogation.
Yes.
Here for it.
So, before I went to Greece, it was a 2-month dry spell. Partly because I was feeling like all of the things you're mentioning, like Instagram doesn't make me feel good. I'm going to spend some time away. I don't need to post to like live my life. I can just do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds a bit revolutionary
but
to
then,
me.
But then as it kept going, like that was me month one. Month two, I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold off and my comeback will be the dynamite photos from Greece and they won't even know what hit them. They're going to realize they miss me.
Think you about how much it like shapes the way you live your life. Or have you ever took a picture and thought of like, is this good enough?
Every day of
for
my
Instagram?
Life. Well, and usually the answer is no, so I don't post it.
What I will say is you guys may be familiar with the San Francisco phenomenon known as the Color Factory.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So this is a building.
The Instagram factory, more like.
For those who aren't aware, it is a building in downtown San Francisco near Union Square, which has been kitted out to basically be a playpen for Instagram-loving adults.
Oh.
Every room is a different color. There is a big yellow ball pit
oh,
at
yeah,
the end.
There is.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, it is entirely geared towards your Instagram needs. The lovely people who kind of shepherd you around this place, they don't say have fun. They say take good photos.
Oh, is there a hashtag associated?
That's what you're being implored. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
There is.
I feel like we're entering this really bizarre era where did you actually live and have a meaningful experience if you didn't get 100 likes on it?
Yep. If a tree falls in the forest and it
doesn't get
100
likes. About
it
if you didn't even post about it, then it definitely didn't happen.
No, if a tree falls in the forest and you don't take and you take a picture of it and it gets no likes, did it really happen?
No, you delete that.
Okay,
it didn't happen.
Yeah. I took a boomerang.
And speaking of color, according to the Journal of EPJ Data Science, there's a little key to whether or not your pictures, the way you post and the filters you use say a little bit about your mental health.
Oh.
Oh.
So apparently,
well, I have opinions about the orangish filter. I'm like, are you a sociopath? Do you have any aesthetic?
Who uses Hefe?
Well, listen, Inkwell, depressed.
Oh,
like
it's
kind of
dark or something.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, people who are depressed use the darker filters, the bluish, the grays. This is according to the study. No judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
Healthier people choose Valencia.
Yes.
Depressed people, according to this study, tend not to post faces.
Right.
Whereas healthier people tend to be all in the... And I have feelings about that because I'm not a selfie person. Hmm. Can't I just not want to take a selfie?
No, you can't.
Clearly.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I go on that kind of explore thing on Instagram where it shows you posts you'll probably like. There are a lot of memes about depression and anxiety, like tons. And
yeah.
I'm very conflicted about them because I think the more we talk about mental health, the better we'll all feel. And like stigmatizing things by shoving them into darkness is not a good thing. But there is like this flippancy that people talk about mental health issues on Instagram. And I don't know how I feel about it, guys. Sometimes I laugh and sometimes I'm like, ah, that's not funny.
Speaking of, I'm going to do a little truth or dare moment with you guys.
Okay.
Oh,
and the listeners,
God,
too. You got to do this with us. Don't just let, it's not just us. We're putting ourselves out there right now. So they need to put themselves out there, too.
Speak for yourself.
Yes. I want you to open your phone.
Here we go.
I haven't brought it.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't have it.
I want you to open your Instagram app, which I know you have. Don't lie and say that you do not have Instagram app. Mm. Click that little magnifying glass.
Got it.
Go to your search. Mm-hmm. And see who your top five suggested people are. Because Instagram is always suggesting people.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll share mine first.
All right.
First suggested, surprise, surprise, Beyonce. Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Second, Chrissy Teigen. Yes.
Hey.
Third, Kim Kardashian.
Ooh, now we know. All of that criticism you have for her.
Black China.
Wow.
And fifth, Luna Angel, which is actually a friend of mine. So.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Luna. She's on the same level as
Beyonce and I don't, I'm not going to say Black
don't
China.
Name that
and Chrissy
one.
Teigen.
Yeah.
Okay. And then recents. I will share my recents because you guys also have to share your recents.
Okay.
These are the last five people that we searched for.
I don't like this game. I want to go home.
Jay Frizzacci is mine. He's like a teenage comedian. Celeste Barber. So she does like celebrity parodies. Like she does Instagram poses, but she kind of like makes fun of them and does like a whole other one. Chewy Gomez, who's a local DJ. Adriana Lima, because I'm a little obsessed with her. I don't know
she's
why.
Beautiful.
But I'm just like. Mm.
You don't need a reason.
And then the YBF, Young Black and Fabulous Daily, because
yes.
I need my gossip. You?
All right, I'm ready.
And this is your top suggested, right?
Suggested.
Yes.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Because of recent events,
no.
Lindsay Lohan. Because I was checking where she was in Mykonos so I could maybe go to those places too. Number two,
mm-hmm.
my own sister.
Hey, oh, come through, huh. sister.
Number three, this is getting weird now. This guy, Adam Kenworthy, who is a much younger boyfriend of one of the Real Housewives of New York.
Oh, which one?
Wow.
Carol Duchess.
Radziwill.
Oh, I don't know her.
Oh, of the Radziwill dynasty.
Yes.
Got it.
So he makes food, but he's also cute. So
oh, okay.
He's there.
Come
he
through.
Sounds great.
Number four, Taylor Swift.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
I was wondering when she was going to come up.
Number five, name redacted, person.
Oh, we're doing that now, are we?
One of my closest friends moved away, then met a new boo thing, and is already engaged to him and getting married to him, so I need to do my due diligence to make sure he's okay for her.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
And so I'm stalking
this is
to
research.
Make sure.
Yep.
Research.
So far, I haven't seen any red flags, but if I see one,
mm-hmm.
I will be sending a little missive to my friend, or I'll just show up at the wedding and be like, I will speak now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on his Instagram,
yep.
dated October 12th,
Something
isn't adding
Exhibit
up.
A.
Who is this?
Okay.
To quote Kris Jenner, this is a case for the FBI.
Yes. Under my recents.
Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift.
Link the Baddest.
Oh.
Which is Kid Fury of the Reeds' dog.
Yes.
Number two. Some man named Peter Krause, who's really hot from The Bachelor and was not chosen to be the new Bachelor.
Isn't that the dude from 6 Feet Under?
Well, he did put his middle initial in there. Maybe that's why.
Oh,
Peter
that's
J. Krause.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
very cute. He has a gap tooth. Crystal from the Reed is in here.
Yes.
Ooh.
Let me try to scroll past.
Or at least if you're going to do it, be subtler about
this
it.
This director, who's from Canada, he's French-Canadian, his name is Xavier Dolan.
Oh, yeah.
He's gay and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, a drag queen that I won't follow because I'm mad at her recently. Her name is Nina Bonina Brown. Mm. She makes her face into peaches and like very weird things
was
with paper.
Was she on drag?
She was on the last season of Drag Race.
Yeah.
And I refuse to give her the follow, but I still keep tabs on her.
I have a few of those.
Because she's messy, so I need to like know what's going
That's
on.
That's why to keep tabs. It's just, you know, staying informed in the information age.
Yeah, totally.
For the record, that is why Black China is in my suggested.
Sure.
Because I refuse to give her the follow.
Yeah.
But I keep checking up.
Carly?
Well, now that you folks have given me enough time.
she searched a few extra people.
Lies. Number one suggested is a friend of the show, friend of KQED, our friend Cece.
Oh, Cecilia.
Cecilia. Shout out Cecilia Lang. Hey. Number two, the best meme account of all time, Wolf Eyes Psycho Jazz.
What?
Strongly recommend. Go and check out Wolf Eyes. Their meme game is very strong. Tragically, KQED Science. And I'm not saying tragically because it's not a great account. Love them. It's just part of my job. So, yeah that could be more exciting. An account I also love called Ian Curtis is Hungry.
What is that?
You get up to some weird stuff.
Again, name redacted, the account of a gal that I met in a lift. We were both wearing head wraps. We kind of chatted about that. She followed me. I followed her.
Boom.
Like her stuff.
Scroll, like it's gonna scroll past.
And also, this is very on brand. You must remember this. That is a film history podcast who's writer Karina Longworth. We interviewed on the show a little while
back.
Yes,
we did.
So, so there you go. That's mine. Nothing to be concerned about or even look too hard at there. So
okay,
we're fine.
Yeah, she's like, no, nothing to see over here, folks.
Wait, what about your other section?
You're searched. What? You're recently searched.
That's all you got.
I kind of feel like this should be a prerequisite for anybody who's dating. It's like, let me see your phone and let me see your Instagram suggestions. And
she has a couple like DILF accounts on there. Okay. We don't have to get into it, I guess.
Oh, The Onion?
Right. Now you're just making stuff up. She's done.
Mad Men, AMC?
No, no.
These are all real names, guys. I'm not making them up.
Lies.
But isn't it worth mentioning that all of our Instagram accounts are public and that people can follow us if they're big fans of The Cooler?
Jamidra's isn't.
Mine is. I have a second one.
You do?
Oh.
Rep it.
It's Jamidra Says on Instagram. There's like two pictures there.
Oh,
but
there you go.
Yeah. I'm Teacup in the Bay.
I'm at Excuse My Beauty with the E on Instagram.
Yay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So go and see what we posted.
Now I've got to post something. The pressure's on.
It is. So you better get to Greece.
I go through flurries. Mm-hmm. And I go through dry spells.
So I'll tell you who's not going through dry spells.
Who?
The top 10 people who have the most followers on Instagram.
Oh, God.
Kim Kardashian.
But you thought.
Oh.
But you thought.
I thought.
Who? Boom. Selena Gomez is number one.
That's weird.
According to Marie Claire.
What does she do?
And these change all the time. Who knows? People, like Marie Claire wrote this maybe a month ago. Who knows what people are doing?
Yeah, right. It could very plausibly be me right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Selena Gomez is like the number one followed celebrity, period.
I don't see it for her, but fine.
Yeah. You know what? I said the same thing. Like, I think she's talented.
Fine, but number one?
That tells you who the platform is geared towards.
Yes.
It does.
Number two, Ponytail Extravaganza.
Ariana Grande?
Yes.
She deserves that. Number two slot.
Yeah.
Love her.
Number three, Beyonce.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, only number three?
Number three. Followed by...
Treason.
Kim Kardashian.
Okay. There she is.
Followed by Cristiano Ronaldo. You know who that is?
Yes.
Yes.
He has
very
eyebrows
handsome,
on fleek, if I
soccer
must say.
Player. And I don't even follow soccer, but I know who that is.
I love that we're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo on this podcast. I never thought it would happen.
Followed by Kylie Jenner.
Yep. Mm. Makes sense.
Every time someone says Kylie, because I'm 31 years old, I think they mean Minogue.
Yeah.
Put some respect
I know.
On Kylie
on
Minogue's
name.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
She's been here.
Yes. Next, Justin Bieber.
No.
Why?
I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. And followed by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
That's weird.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what? I would think that Khaled would be somewhere in here because DJ Khaled is always like, he's aggressively inspirational. We're going to be happy today.
I think he's more of a Snapchat.
Yeah. My haters don't want to see me. Also, his success is always related to him showing his haters, but that's a whole other thing.
I'm surprised his son isn't on this list. His like 1 year old.
Assad. And last but not least, Kendall Jenner.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. To wrap things up, if you're getting depressed, just close the app.
Yeah.
Just close the app.
Close it.
Take a 2-month break and then go on a crazy sick vacation that no one can deny.
Exactly. Yeah. And then slay.
Take those likes and fill it where your self-esteem should be. You will be better.
Guys, this is great.
We're like doctors.
Exactly.
It's the peek in the pit.
The peek in the pit.
So it's time for our peek in the pit of the week. So this week's pit is sponsored by Masculinity So Fragile.
Oh, I thought it was a real sponsor.
No, we'll never get one of those.
Well, that brand has been around forever, so we should be lucky to have them.
Yeah. So there's a new line of makeup called They Hate pimples. Zit camouflage for guys. So these are concealers, and they come in shades named after beer. Because, duh. Pale ale for the whitest among us. Medium lager for the guys who got sunburnt from spending 20 minutes in the sun. Amber ale for white men who blush a lot. Here's some language from their website. Quote, built for guys, by guys.
Thank God.
Translation, it's like FUBU, only whiter and broier.
Oh, I see. And they were wearing the romper while they wrote this, right? The romp him?
Yes.
Yes, while they wrote this,
You just remind me of the existence of FUBU.
Mm-hmm. More language. Hmm. Quote, go from a dude with shame to a stud with game in two dabs and a rub. Parentheses, very different from the rubbing you normally do in the bathroom.
What?
So does this come with brushes? Because I'm trying to imagine them blending. Blending is a big part of makeup.
No, you just do it with your fist.
Yeah, you got just it. Punch yourself.
Clearly.
But you presumably pause from frantically touching yourself in the bathroom.
Yeah, I feel like that was just them saying like, no homo, the only dick I touch is mine.
Just to be that clear about that.
Just so we're clear.
Here's some more language. They hate pimples is the badass superhero that is about to swoop in and save the day. Tell that evil pimple overlord residing on your face to back the hell up. Translation, this makeup product is basically Iron Man, a superhero who is strong and has muscles and has never rubbed his penis on another man's penis.
Lest there be any hint of gayness.
So, for the low, low price of $14.95, you too.
Oh, wow.
Can wear makeup without admitting that you're so insecure, you need a macho concealer to cover up the fact that you're mortally afraid of being perceived as gay.
You know what else you could do? You can wash your face.
Yep.
Because that is also a big thing.
Soap and water.
Soap and water, maybe a little hot towel. You'll be fine.
What I will say is it's almost strangely refreshing to hear the word shame in advertising copy targeted at men, because normally that's really just thrown at women. So equal opportunities. Isn't 2017 great?
Oh, it's the best. I'm so glad I'm here.
There's like enough shame to go around.
Part of
guys.
Me appreciates that they're trying to objectify men and like pressure them into.
It's like something's wrong with you. Fix it.
Like, what else could they have named the shades after that was not beer? Like, I don't know, like shades of horses or, you know,
steel.
Cowboy.
Well, the first thing that I thought about was condoms. We've got the Magnum and we've got the. Well, anyway, that's a whole other.
Going off the rails.
Maybe it's like fries because, you know, guys love fries, right? You know, burger and fries and beer and. Maybe, you know, it's different, you know, levels of fries.
Ooh,
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Steak, the medium rare.
Yeah.
Yes.
The well done.
Oh, yes.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah, the steakhouse vibe.
T-bone. Yeah. Just like your T-zone, which has zits on it. The peak of the week kind of has to do with a makeup line.
Another one.
Ooh.
But not really. So remember Peaches Monroe? We've talked about her on the show before.
Mm-hmm. Remind me.
She's the one who originated Eyebrows on Fleek.
Oh, yes, and got no credit for it.
She got no credit. People appropriated that and didn't compensate her for any of that. We've talked about that on the show before, how that happened a lot with Vine in general, mm-hmm. but also in our whole culture.
R.I.P. Vine.
Yeah. So back in February, Peaches was like, I want to do something with this. So she started a GoFundMe to make a makeup line for herself.
Okay.
And she raised nearly $17,000. And just a few months later, she's used that money to start her own company called On Fleek Extensions.
Oh,
she like left
Peaches.
The makeup on the side.
Okay.
So now she's selling wigs, lashes, all kinds of extensions. So if you ever use the term on fleek, you owe this girl some money.
Apparently so.
So go buy yourself a wig.
Go buy some hair.
I'm there.
Lashes, do it.
I don't wear fake lashes, but I might start because of Peaches, because I do owe her like a coin or two.
Okay.
Yeah. So congrats to her for reclaiming her creation and making something out of it.
Reclaim
peak of the week.
Your fleekness.
And your time.
Reclaiming my time.
Yes, I am.
My time.
Every minute
my
of
my time.
Every second.
My time.
Stop talking.
My time.
Do you know the rules?
My time.
When it's my time.
My time.
I can take it back.
My time.
Or
I'm reclaiming my time.
Okay, so to play us out this week, it's my choice. It is a song by Drab Majesty, who is the solo project of Deb Demure, who is the androgynous alter ego of LA-based musician Andrew Klinker. So it goes levels deep.
You had me at androgynous.
With three levels down on the alter egos.
Yes.
Anyway, Drab Majesty is great, and this song, Dot in the Sky, I'm kind of really into it. It's like a synth pop, electro pop, like new wave-ish sound. It reminds me a lot of like Depeche Mode's more accessible stuff, and I just think you'll like it. Take it away.
Never heard from you when it became a concern.
thanks to our podcast papa, David Marcus.
Thanks to Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs for our amazing theme song that you hear at the beginning of the show. Please subscribe on iTunes. Also rate us if you like us. If you don't, you never heard this. Until next week, find us on social media. I am Excuse My Beauty without the first D on Twitter.
I am at Teacup in the Bay.
I am at Jamidra Says.
Follow us. Favorite our stuff. Retweet. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.